Hi, you guys. Welcome to the third part of the emotional pillar section of the training temple body. In part two, we touched upon our ability to feel truth, and we touched upon the times that we're living in. That the 3D earth plane is trying to pull us into it. But we are also trying to evolve into a 5D consciousness with Gaia. And because Gaia is in an evolving cycle, when we stay close to the heart, we stay close to her, and it helps our ascension process. It's like the earth really has split into two. There's a new fifth dimensional earth of a higher frequency that is evolving, and it's left behind like an old hologram of an old three dimensional earth that is actually very, very dense. And this three dimensional earth tries to pull us back to it. When we're in our lower self, and we're not connected to the heart, we're more likely to drop into that 3D plane. This 3D plane is very close to the chaos and the lower astral and the trickster energies that are connected to the lower astral realms. So let's look at karma and the astral realm now. So going a little bit deeper here. Okay, you guys, the emotional body works with the astral body. So feelings of attraction and aversion or repulsion are transmitted via the astral body. It's said that the astral holds the vibration of feeling. Now, many people believe that we visit the astral realms in our dream states. Like a lucid dream might take place on the astral if this is true. It's said when we experience higher emotions such as love, forgiveness, and compassion, the astral body expands. And it's through this expansion that we can access the higher astral realms. Okay, so it's difficult to talk about this stuff because so much of it is theory, really. But I have had one conscious experience of the astral whilst I was doing a month-long intensive yoga training, which I'll share with you so you get an experiential account of it. As I went into relaxation, I started to feel myself go very, very light, so light that I rose up away from my body, and I felt a great expansion as I left my physical body. And it was like a spontaneous thing. I started to spontaneously sort of follow these pathways. I was drawn into different unseen pathways. It was very natural and very sort of liberating to do this. I just felt a little bit like I was flying, but it wasn't like that. I was just kind of being pulled in different directions. Now, it was almost like I was getting further and further away from my body, and the Swami that was teaching me just kind of like shot up in my awareness and put a hand out and said, "No, Julie," and I shot back into my body, and that was the experience. And as weird as that sounds now, it was completely natural at the time. I wasn't scared. It was just was what it was. I'm not sure if it was the Swami who was teaching me who actually was aware that I was going a little bit far out into the astral, or maybe one of my guides or in some help that I had on that plane that was just coming in to push me back into this plane. And it does sound very weird, but it feels very natural to talk about. It's a very natural experience. I really feel that all of these things, we all do them. It's just that we're not necessarily aware of them. So that was a very basic experience of just a slight touching I felt of the higher astral. But, you know, what about the lower realms, those lower astral realms that exist so close to our old three-dimensional earth plane? It is said when we experience emotions like fear, shame, or greed, the astral body contracts. So when we experience compassion, love, those higher emotions, the astral body expands. So it's like funneling us up. When we experience the lower emotions and the lower self, the astral body is contracted. And when I feel into this contraction, it's like being squeezed down or funneled down towards the lower astral, like squeezing a boil or, you know, pushing kind of the gunk down. And, you know, the lower astral is said to be basically full of the negative emotional pus, if you like, that we can't stomach. That eventually, you know, when we suppress it in ourselves for too long and we really don't want to see it, and we really don't want to know it, we push it out into the lower astral. So we push out all of our shit, really, into the lower astral. That which we cannot face gets pushed into the lower astral. And this can tie us into the heavy energies of our karma. So not taking responsibility for our stuff is actually creating our karma. If we negate our negativity enough, if we bypass or deny our negativity enough, taking absolutely no responsibility for it, our negativity can begin to create or feed negative energies that exist on the lower astral. So all of this negative energy that's been pushed out there can bind together to create actual entities that directly affect our 3D earth, because the 3D, the lower, you know, the old earth exists so closely to the lower astral. I know there's a lot here to take in. I really appreciate that. And I know this is quite heavy. We will come out of it soon, but it is important to go here, I feel, because there's a bigger story here. As humanity is in an ascension cycle, we're moving into a 5D consciousness. The 3D planes and the lower astral are trying desperately to keep humanity trapped in negativity and density, to slow down our ascension process. Those that are immersed in negativity and lower astral energies will say or do anything to keep their power. You know, they're in so much fear, so they want to say or do anything to keep their power and keep the status quo. In part, this is why the world is feeling so chaotic. Because there's this kind of like, this is two paths. One of them's going up and one of them's going down. And, you know, this is why spiritual work and truth discernment through the sphere of the heart is so very important right now, because we can discern what it is we're dealing with through the vibration of the heart. The heart has that wisdom. So you can feel what is lower and what is higher, what is light and what is dark through the heart. So strengthening our temple body as a whole, strengthening the four pillars, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, is helping us to navigate this time. We're transmuting our negativity and raising our consciousness through our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies into a 5D higher existence. So it's a big deal. The lower astral can be thick with our shadow and our denied karmic pain. If you enter into the lower astral and you have darkness in you, darkness will be attracted to you. We can become denser. Darkness can attach itself to you from the lower astral. So it's like for like, you guys. I mean, if you've got no darkness in you, it's very unlikely that you would ever go anywhere near the lower astral, to be fair. But I feel it's, you know, I feel that it's why we've got to be cautious about entering into or practicing spiritual work. with any kind of teacher or any kind of system where you feel in your heart space, or you feel any dissonance, I know for me, it's like when I'm looking for a teacher, I look at them and I feel their light and I think I just want a bit of that. But there's many teachers that have got so much knowledge and you know, are great teachers, but they haven't transmuted their stuff. And I certainly feel that, you know, it's like, yeah, it's a good teacher, but I don't really want to jump on that train. And I don't know why. And that's my heart informing me. It's like for like, you know, so we have to be cautious about our spiritual work, practicing astral travel or projection, or trying to develop psychic or spiritual power without doing personal work, for me, is a huge no-no. So you quite often, you know, I'll go to, well, I don't do it anymore. I don't really tend to go to workshops and stuff, but, you know, if it's all about the power and the ego and it's not about transmuting our negativity, through doing this work, we can be really attracting some really, really dark stuff to us from the astral. You know, all of that negativity that people can't deal with, if we go anywhere near that and we're not looking at our own shadow, that can just click into us and attach itself to us. So we've got to be very, very careful and very, very discerning. You know, our astral destination, let's put it this way, is dependent on our own feelings or the emotional currents running through us, in my experience. So if we're experiencing a positive charge inside of ourselves, we may well reach the higher astral realms. But if we have a negative charge running through us, we are at risk from entering the lower astral, which is this place that's riddled really with shadow parasites that are waiting for a chance to feed off us and further distort our reality through projecting their negativity. So this is a big deal. And as I said earlier, 3D Earth is now very close to the astral. So when we go into the lowest vibrations on Earth, it's very, very close to that astral plane. You know, there's a lot of density on Earth. And it might be a lot easier than we realize to pop into the lower astral realms and pull God knows what back with us. So again, we're highlighting the importance of self-work. I mean, we don't really need to know any of this. We just need to know, work on yourself. Don't try to have power. You know, this is what the yogis say in this is part of like the yogic training, is you work with the yamas and the niyamas, the precepts, the moral precepts, and you do a lot of clearing, a lot of purification in yourself before you get anywhere near to having what they call in the yogic system siddhis, which is like spiritual powers or spiritual, you know, opening those spiritual doorways. You have to do the work on yourself first. You have to. And a lot of people, because spirituality is coming sort of back into vogue, a lot of people want to do the spiritual work. They want to go to the astral realms. They want to do all of this amazing stuff without actually facing themselves first. And that's, you know, that's a very rocky pathway, to put it lightly. So, yeah, if we bypass the glamour, if we bypass ourselves for the glamour of astral travel or similar, you know, spiritual work, or we use our spirituality to achieve power or the siddhis, as the yogis would call it, and we're not ready inside of ourselves to do this work, we will get a kickback. That is universal law. So, yeah, I've got an example of this, and I'll go briefly into it. Yeah, I met someone once who spoke to me at length about his out-of-body experiences. It's quite recent, actually. And as he spoke to me, I became aware of a lot of shadow energy around him that was trying to attach itself to me. It was really strange because I'm not used to that kind of the intensity of that energy. So it was very obvious to me there was something going on. This guy had absolutely no idea he had this on him, really. So, you know, there was no doubt in my mind that he was visiting the astral. Absolutely, yes. But without the right awareness, you know, you're taking a big gamble on where you might end up or what you might pull back with you. And I felt that this guy, who was a really nice guy, had been picking up some really strange energy from wherever he'd been. It was not that the man was bad. He was not wrong. He hadn't done anything wrong. It was just like, you know, it was just like a blind spot that, you know, he hadn't been educated properly with regard to clearing out the distortions inside of him and the like-for-like dynamics that I'm talking about here. It's tricky when this happens in 3D Earth. So this happens without visiting the astral. We can go into a negative space, and if we have that vibration running through us, we attract that to us. So, you know, this is magnetism. So I feel, and I know I hop on about this, you know, if we embrace any spiritual technique without the personal work, we're playing into a disconnected distortion or a lower energy. And we've got to be so careful, because these spiritual techniques have power, and power without personal responsibility is inherently dangerous and destructive. So you guys, I'm an utterly passionate advocate for conscious self-exploration first, before exploring anything else, before exploring any of the other realms, you know, work on yourself. You know, and when we work on ourselves, it eliminates the likelihood of us visiting these lower realms or even being affected by them, because we've cleared the lower energies inside of us. So it's not like I'm telling you this because I want you to worry or I want you to be scared of anything, but I'm just highlighting, you know, how resonance works, like for like, law of attraction. So it's in our best interest to clear that which is inside of us that is inherently negative, or that which we are avoiding, because it's running through us anyway, and it'll keep coming back to us and keep sort of like tapping us on the shoulder until we deal with it. And, you know, really what I really want to say is that if we attempt to go beyond ourselves in terms of our spiritual power without doing the self-work, you know, we're asking for trouble, and we've just got to be super careful with that. You know, the emotional pillar is so important for this process of clearing the emotion, the lower energies inside of us, because these lower energies are basically our karma that is tying us into the lower astral or tying us into that 3D earth plane. And when we work to clear our pain and distortion, we clear our karma, so that then we start to work on the higher planes. We start to attract the higher self, and we're liberated from the wheel. You know, we're not keep coming back to the same old shit over and over and over and over again. But I want to, you know, it's like I really want to touch upon the power of the emotional pillar, you know, and reasons why, you know, negative forces might not want us to engage with our emotional bodies, might not want us to clear our own karma, because it's keeping us stuck. It's keeping us in our place, if you like, and keeping the status quo going. So everything that I'm talking about in this pillar, in the emotional pillar, is, you know, I want you to see how these old outdated systems try to keep us from that, and work your way through it. Okay. yeah, this is a big deal, you know, and let's continue on with this just for a little bit longer. Because many people think more of the astral as a place where we go when we die. Many teachings speak about this. You know, if we have karma weighing on us when we die, some teachers would say we cannot get through the lower astral. We get pulled into it. We cannot ascend. It's based for the like, you know, law of attraction theory. If we're heavy, we stay attached. If we're light or enlightened, we can ascend. This gives a new understanding to the wheel of karma and the teachings of non-attachment, really. So if we're heavy, it's said in some schools of thought that we're sent back into the earth plane. After we die, we come back again to incarnate again and again and again until we face our karma. And this is the wheel of karma. There's a modern phrase kind of knocking about. I've heard it a few times. It's sort of the modern phrase is prison planet. And it's applicable here. You know, some teachings talk about the moon locking us in. I've heard, you know, some really quite weird and wonderful theories about how the moon locks us in. When I fell into this, I was feeling that one explanation for this is the moon is said to correspond with the subconscious mind. Or, you know, or in other words, the subconscious mind is that which we are unaware of that is dictating our fate. It's like that that goes on in the background of us. That we're acting from that subconscious mind quite a lot of the time. So you could say the moon is corresponding with the subconscious mind, or which we are unaware of that dictates our fate, or our karma, or our heavier astral ties. It's all the same stuff. But if we've done the emotional work, now the emotions run from the subconscious. That's why they surprise us. So if we've done the emotional work to transmute our negativity and cultivate the higher emotions of love, unity, forgiveness, compassion, etc., we break through those things that hold us back. Or in other words, we break through our distorted karmic patterns. If we can work with this in life, it's said that we don't get pulled into the lower astral at death and then back into the 3D earth to incarnate again. Instead, we rise through the lower astral because we have no resonance with it. It's the law of like for like. We raise ourselves through our own work into the higher realms. I'll say that again, that's super important. We raise ourselves through our own work into the higher realms. There's no other way to do it, you guys. No other way through. You know, I think this is like an interesting play on heaven and hell. You know, heaven, we're moving up, hell, we're moving down, and the corresponding emotions of love and hate. The higher and lower. I love the comparison of the moon and the subconscious. And how this relates to our karma. You know, that there's surprise emotions that come and hit us and again and again and again. And we think, well, you know, what is this inside of me? And our karma is that's locking us into the wheel. And, you know, I'm saying all of this, I'll reiterate. And I'm talking about all of this strange stuff. Not to frighten anyone or not to pretend that I'm clever. I'm not the first person to talk about this. I won't be the last. It's nothing new, really. It's nothing new. There's nothing new in what I'm saying. But I want to remind you guys that we have access. We can access everything. Everything through the feeling space of the heart. So we access our conscious, you know, we can access our subconscious, we can access other realms, we can access esoteric or hidden teachings through the healing space of the heart. And the heart is the mystery school. There is no better education that you're going to get spiritually than the school of your heart. So, you know, so I talk about all of this stuff in order to, you know, encourage you not to be seduced by that which takes you away from your heart. You know, maybe the pursuit of power, the pursuit of knowledge, the pursuit of this, whatever's, and feel, if you are going to pursue those things, feel into your heart, feel what is resonant, feel what is true for you. You know, feeling and learning to feel and learning to transmute through the emotional pillar, transmute our negativity, that what is inside of us that makes us feel heavy and dense and keeps us stuck. Releasing that into the light is a key that releases us from imprisonment and ignorance on so many levels. So the emotional body is a big, big deal, you guys. And emotional healing is a big, big deal. You know, we feel to heal. And I vividly remember my teacher showing me the control mechanism of my ego and my emotional withdrawal. It was very painful to see it. I remember thinking, I shut myself down because I was hurt. I wanted, and I told my teacher about this, and I wanted her to comfort me. And in a way, I kind of wanted her to say, "Oh, aren't those people bad that hurt you?" Instead, she showed me how I'd shut myself down as a way for me to control the situation and everyone in it. Because usually I'm so open. So when I shut myself down, everyone feels that. And that keeps me and everyone I loved around me locked into that pain, locked into my karma. So let's speak to emotionally shutting down as a defense and a control mechanism now. When we emotionally shut down, it affects everyone because they feel the lack of emotional response just as profoundly as an emotional response. In fact, it's kind of worse to feel emotional shutdown because it's so unclear and it creates a lot of confusion for everybody around that shutdown. And, you know, anyone who's experienced that will have experienced this feeling of walking on eggshells. You know, the shutdown that we have emotionally when we disconnect from the emotional body is usually learned quite young. You know, we'd be wise to unlearn this for the sake of our own health and for the mental well-being of all of those around us if we're prone to doing this. And I know that I do it, so I guess that you guys probably do it from time to time too. When we close down or we check out emotionally, you know, it's never a good option for anyone long-term. You know, it's just not a good thing because we're building an emotional dam inside of ourselves. And that's not good. The emotional water becomes very cloudy and dirty and it just sits there festering. When we think about water, water wants to flow. It wants to move. Energy needs to flow. It's the same as emotion in motion. And we should never deny our emotions movement. Yet, so many of us have learned to do this through embarrassment, discomfort, fear, or trauma. We become afraid of the emotional current and we shut ourselves down. I know I did. And I've had to relearn how to re-engage with my emotions and let them move through me, sort of like water from a wellspring. This is a process that it's initiated through the light of the awareness, perceiving the mechanism. And the light of the awareness penetrates the pain and the fear that has jammed the wheels or the cogs of the machine that's kept the emotions stuck. So look at your emotional currents, you guys, and where they might lead you. Look at what is moving and what feels stuck, what is soft and pliable and fluid, and what is sharp, hard, or jammed. Where we are sharp with others can show us where we are unhealed in our hearts. So when I saw my emotional shutdown, I saw a place inside of me that wanted to heal, and that was painful. But as painful as that was, my teacher wanted me to see it so I could begin the process of healing it. I feel a little bit like I'm kind of, you know, like I'm a wrecking ball going through this now. Like it's not easy to accept that we close ourselves down emotionally sometimes, but sometimes we just do it and sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. when we're sharp with others, we are actually exposing a wound inside of ourselves. When we're soft, the softness captures the heaven worlds on the earth. There's a truth and a power in that softness that comes from a pure stream of untouched energy. Your beautiful emotional heart-based self, your softness is precious. So stay open, you guys. Stay soft in your heart. Don't be sharp. Don't shut it down. But here's another lesson that I had to learn with regard to my heart. A big lesson for me was only sharing my softness with those who deserve it. Now, my pattern used to be that I would I would be so open in myself. I'd share everything I was feeling and thinking. I'd share all of my flaws, all of my vulnerability, everything with anyone. You know, everybody and their dog would know what was going on with me. And then I'd share it with the wrong person and they'd throw it back at me. And then I'd shut down completely. And I wouldn't want to share with anyone. And it's an emotional defense mechanism. So part of me learning to open my heart was me learning discernment with my emotional body, discerning who I could trust with it, who deserved my vulnerability. You know, if you share your vulnerability with insensitive souls, it will cause you to harden up in your heart space. So we have to be discerning in who we share our heart with, but we have to stay open in our heart. It's not an exact science. It's more of an art, really. You know, and if you can't find a person that you can trust with your heart, and I know this certainly was the case for me, don't harden off or numb off to protect yourself. Take your softness and talk to spirit. This was such a big lesson for me where I couldn't find a person that loved me. There's plenty of people that love me. There's plenty of people that I might like to talk to, but I couldn't find a person I just couldn't find anyone really with the nature of the work that I do that could understand some of the things that I was going through. So, you know, this is part of my pathway through the emotional body, was learning to talk to spirit, taking my softness and opening myself up to spirit and remembering that, you know, I've worked really hard over many lifetimes to access my heart. And so have you. So you've worked really hard to access your heart and have the gift of feeling. But do you have the courage to use it? Do you have the discernment to know who to share that gift with? You know, there's so much in this. I feel like I am bombarding you a little bit, but let's keep going. Because one thing I really want to stress is that one thing we must never do is close down our heart. Because that turns us into the crazy white man that I talked about in the first part of this pillar. We have to stay open. We have to stay soft and receptive in the heart. That is what makes the emotional pillar strong. Closing down the heart and damming the emotional energy makes the emotional pillar weak, and this endangers the entire temple. We can explode, you know, we can implode or explode. So never shut down, but only share the softness of your heart with the trustworthy. You know, your heart is a precious treasure. It is the philosopher's stone. It will take you higher. Your emotions are currents. They are encodements of light that exist to inform you. Catching the currents of your emotion gives you so much information about yourself and about the world around you, so it's unwise to close that down. But let's face it, you guys, we're trained into suppression. And like I said earlier, many of us feel the emotions that are running through us. If this is you, a really great technique is just to name them. Don't try to work them out, but do say out loud what emotion is presenting itself to you. This practice not only helps us to decipher ourselves, but it also serves to decode out that which has held us prisoner, that which is suppressed. So if we can catch an emotion and name the emotion and allow the full spectrum, laugh, cry, shout, etc., we can increase our emotional vocabulary. I love a story that a close friend told me about her mom marching around the house, stamping her feet and saying, angry, 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 angry. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is great work because you're letting that anger run through the body. And this is kind of what we all need to do. We need to return to our innocence as children, you know, and if we can, lie on the floor and kick and scream. You know, if we notice if your emotional pillar is balanced, you know, are your emotions numbed down? Are you checked out? Or are your emotions being bypassed completely? Are you in complete avoidance and denial? Or are you oversaturated with your emotion? Are you caught up in it? Are you identified with it? You know, are you able to hold it in that masculine container of a steady, understanding mind? Or is it just blurting out, hitting everyone around you, blowtorching all of your loved ones and all of your friends? Remember, lovelies, that the heart is powerful. It is the control box of the emotional body. It discerns truth and it works in tandem with the mind to assert the will of truth. An unbalanced emotional pillar will avoid the mind, just as an unbalanced mental pillar will avoid the heart. I'll say that again because that's important. An unbalanced emotional pillar will avoid the mind, just as an unbalanced mental pillar will avoid the heart. Remember, lovelies, the wounding we may feel in the emotions hurt. They may hurt, for sure. But the bypassing of this wound will hurt more in the long run and can hurt others. So it's like my example of the story that when my teacher said, you know, that's an emotional wounding, that checking out that you're doing is nothing to do with them. It's a control mechanism that you are using that you don't even know that you're doing it. And you're using it to control the situation because everyone around you feels that. And it's like everyone goes, oh shit, what's wrong? So, you know, for me to look at that, for sure it was painful. But for me to not look at that would have in the long run hurt me a lot more. And along the way was already hurting the people that I loved. You know, if we're incapable of looking at the emotions and fully feeling our pain and owning our wounds and owning all of the distortion inside of us, it's like we abandon ourselves and we take sides with that has hurt us. And in doing that, we become an agent of our own karma. We remain locked into our own unmet hurt and unhealed pain because we won't face it. We won't stand next to ourselves and feel it. Yeah. So, lovelies, I think I'm going to, we'll stop there. Because there's a lot in there. Hopefully you're still with me. And I think we are going to have to go to another recording with this. So I shall see you in the next recording. In the meantime, have a cup of tea, take that in, take a rest, and I'm sending you lots and lots of love. Okay, bye-bye.